Good morning, Poplar Springs. We're glad to have you gathering with us wherever you are this morning. We have just a few announcements and then several things for the prayer list for you to be keeping in your thoughts and prayers. Announcements for this week, just a reminder, if you are a youth and you would like to go to Caswell, if that happens this summer, your deposit is due by February 3rd, and that's a $65 deposit. If you happen to have seniors that you know have lots of money in their youth accounts and you'd like to use that money, parents, feel free to email me and let me know that. And we are also taking signups for the mission trip. We have 12 signed up already. If you will check your email, you'll see the dates and the information for that. But if you will let me know as soon as you can. Contribution statements have been in the office, but they were mailed this week. So if you have any contribution statements, they will be coming to your house this week. Deacons, a reminder that you guys have a Zoom meeting tonight at 5. So if you'll check your text messages for information on that from Sid. Some people to be remembering in your prayers. The late Madge Melton's sister, Mavis Swafford, who is dealing with the COVID virus. Tony Ray and his family, as his father Gene passed away earlier this week. Willie Hawkins, who lost her sister Bernice Grizzle this week. Nadine Harris's mother, Frances Henson, who is in hospice care. Shane Burnett, who's the son-in-law of Sandy Housel, who's in the hospital dealing with the COVID virus. And Jimmy Beatty, who was recently diagnosed with prostate cancer. So if you'll remember those, and if you'll pray with me. In just 1 week here at Poplar Springs, God, we have celebrated births and mourned deaths. We've been diagnosed with diseases and rejoiced in healing. And we have experienced all of the moments in between. Losses, gains, successes, failures, and transitions, both small and large. As we continue to walk with you, may we be people that endure the storms as well as we endure the sunny skies. And though we may have our own opinions and beliefs, may we be people that love our neighbors without fine print. Though we live in a time when it seems acceptable to speak and type and share our thoughts at our own pleasure, may we be a people that instead holds our tongues and perhaps our fingers. May we be a people that does the much harder work we are called to as kingdom workers, which is to let your spirit do the work we so often think is ours to do. God, as we continue to wade into days of division, we ask you to go before us and soften hearts and minds, that you would prepare the soil for a harvest of peace and unity when we have tried and failed without you. Amen.
Good morning. I'm glad that you joined us today. We're going to be sharing this morning from Scripture from 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 10. This was originally supposed to have been Baptist Men's Day, but I've kind of took a little trip away from Romans today, and we're talking from 1 Timothy, where Paul instructs young Timothy in his work in the church. So this is 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 10. If you point these things out to the brothers, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith, and of the good teaching you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for this life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior for all men, and especially those who believe. You join me as we pray. Father, give us sound minds and clear heads as we strive to serve you. I pray that you'll help us to be people who instruct with your guidance and direction, and we take instruction with your guidance and direction as well. I pray, Father, you'll help us to find what's sound and what's good and employ that in our lives, that we'll learn the value of good instruction. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. One of the casualties of my brain ailment, or my lack of a brain, is the fact that I have a hard time explaining things. This week it's been particularly difficult because they're now trying to figure out how to the proper mix between mechanics and medicine, but had a hard time this week. I told Catherine a joke earlier in the week, and I got lost in the middle of it, and I just laughed and said, you know what I mean. So I do that a lot. I say, you know what I mean, because explaining things is hard. But instruction is something that is hard as well, trying to give instructions, try to share some instructions with people. It's hard to do sometimes for me, but I'll get back to it as soon as they get that stuff regulated, and I'll be in good shape. But instruction is going to come to all of us at some time or another. We're all going to have those opportunities to instruct. Instruction comes with kids. You have to instruct your kids. You have to tell them things. They come and ask you questions. Just this week, I was having a discussion with my young 33-year-old son, 32-year-old. We were talking about, he's working on his MBA, and we were talking about the financial crisis of 2008, and I offered my instruction. That was kind of scary. It comes with church responsibilities, instruction, offering instruction in church responsibilities. Folks ask, what are they supposed to do with the nominating committee? What is it I'm supposed to do? And a lot of times they say, oh, you don't have to meet twice a year, so you'll be all right. It comes with our jobs, instruction. What do you do? It comes with life. How do we handle life? And most importantly, we have a message of instruction to share with someone about the faith. We have a message of instruction to share about the faith. Well, that's important to do. As Christians, we have a message to share, a message of hope, a message of optimism, a message of grace, a message of mercy, and sometimes a message that confronts people. We have to earn that right, but it's a message that confronts. And we must never forget that the Holy Spirit within enables us to offer valuable instruction. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us, but there's advice from the Apostle Paul here on how we effectively instruct in the scripture we read this morning. How to instruct. If you point these things out, verse 6, if you point these things out to the brothers, I'm elaborating here and saying brothers and sisters and servants of Christ, let's go ahead and add them in there as well, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good training you have followed. The Greek word for pointing out these things or laying these things before the brothers is a word which does not mean to bark out orders. It does not mean to make demands. It does not mean to lay down the law, to say, here's what you should do. Here's what you have to do. What it means is this. It means to instruct in a gentle, humble, and modest way. Realizing our limitations. We instruct in a way that we realize our limitations. It's not teaching as if we have all the answers, but instead we point out, remind, and at times struggle with the person as we seek to help those in our sphere of influence discover as much truth as they can in this world. We're helping folks discover the truth. That's what we're doing. And we're realizing we don't have all the answers sometimes. Guide with gentleness, as opposed to bullying and telling people what they ought to do. That's not what we do. How do you react to instruction when someone says to you, here's what you need to do. I'd do the following things if I were you. You better go and do this. That doesn't work with me, and it probably doesn't work with you as well. You probably like to have a gentle response as well. But sometimes confrontation is a must. It does happen. Maybe our instruction should include these statements in order to be more effective. Have you considered this option? Have you considered this when you're talking with someone? What do you think God is saying in this situation? That's always a good response. What do you think God is saying to you in this situation? Or what has worked in the past? Or how has God worked in the past? Many years ago, I was learning to play hearts with a great friend. This is a time of how I was trying to learn how to play the card game hearts. He was a great friend, but a terrible instructor. I would lay down a card, and he would huff. I'd make another play, and he would puff. When I would make a decision, he would say, why would anyone in their right mind play that card? Needless to say, I did not learn much about the game. I didn't learn a lot about it, but on the upside, I did get humbled and developed a serious inferiority complex. So it was a difficult time doing that. My dad taught me how to drive for a couple of weeks. I vowed never to get in the car with him as an instructor again. I said, that'll never happen. He meant well, but his instructional skills were lacking, as he let me know I was destroying his mental capabilities and his nerves. Those folks, well, it meant well, but the instruction just wasn't quite there. And sometimes it happens in the faith. We have folks who really shame us and make us feel inferior when they should be building us up in the instruction process. There does come a time when we must confront. Maybe we make someone uncomfortable in our instruction. We make somebody uncomfortable. But we do so with humility and seeking not to say, I told you so, but seeking redemption, wisdom, and knowledge. We teach with this in mind. We are still learners ourselves. That's how we instruct. We're still learners ourselves. We're still learning. As we grow in our faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ as we bring this to the instruction table, we bring this to the instruction table with us, that we're still learning ourselves, knowing and acknowledging that we ourselves have quite a bit to learn. Paul offers advice on what to stay clear of in the quest for growth and in giving, receiving needed instruction. What we need to stay clear of. Verse 17, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. Old wives' tales, that's Paul's words. That's Paul's words. He's speaking here of not being associated with deliberate and inaccurate information. Deliberate and inaccurate information, godless myths, and dangerous tales. Beware of those things. Let's look at some inaccurate information I've gathered through the years from my grandmother, my grandfather. From my mama, Iris Evelyn Jane Lynch McGahey. Eating bread crust will give you curly hair. I heard that advice. Don't eat it if you don't want curly hair. Eating too much candy will give you worms. I ate a lot of candy. Kill a snake and hang it in the closest tree and it'll rain soon. My grandmother had snakes hanging in the trees. From my granddad, A.C. Andrew Oliver, if you're getting close to empty on your gas gauge, turn on the windshield wipers to pump more gas into your tank. So I think it's safe to say that take old guys and old wives' tales with a grain of salt. Take those with a grain of salt. But there are some things that need to be avoided at all costs. Godless chatter. Godless chatter. This would include deliberate misinformation. Deliberate misinformation. Lies, murmuring, gossip. Avoid those things. Have nothing to do with those things. It's not good. These things can come up in church. And in the letter of James, there's some harsh words concerning this. Some very harsh words. And as I read this, I think about James gritting his teeth almost because he says some bad things about the tongue. James 3, 1 through 12. I'll read selections from that. Not many of you should presume to be teachers because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. In other words, not everyone is a gifted teacher. But keep in mind, you're responsible for what you teach. You're responsible for what you teach. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Nobody's perfect. We're not perfect people. In verses 3 through 6, James cuts loose on the things we say. He really gets down to the business. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. When we put bits in their mouths, we can make them obey. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder, going wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue. The tongue is a very small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. It makes great boasts. It talks boldly, says many different things. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by just a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the course of his life on fire, and so his self is set on fire by the fires of hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and being tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. And I kind of want to say, have a nice day after that. It's full of poison. It's a deadly fire. From the pastor to the pew, watch out for the godless chatter. From the pastor to the pew, we need to watch out for godless chatter. Be careful what you teach and what you share in conversation. That's good advice for any of us. Next, Paul tells us what we are to seek. This is solid advice on what to seek to attain in our lives as a whole. Good, solid advice from the Apostle Paul. It's good stuff that we need to keep in mind in our relationships with others, in action, in speech, and in attitude. Train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some worth, but godliness has value for all things, building promise in life and in the life to come. Physical exercise is good. My wife has taken on some therapy with me. She's gotten some of her kids' videos from school. I think something like Go Noodle or something like that. I forgot what it was. Y'all heard about that? Sadie and I are going to start doing some of that. Good little exercises that you do. We did some this morning. But that's good stuff. It gets me loose. It gets me moving. And it's part of starting the movement about moving 90 minutes a day. And so Kim and I did some of that this morning. It's important stuff that we take physical exercise seriously. It's important for us. But train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some worth, but godliness has value for all things, building promise in the life and in the life to come. It's lasting. Godliness is lasting. learn godliness. We're just seeking this life that which lasts, the truly valuable, a growing, thriving relationship with God in Christ, a growing relationship with Christ, not a stagnant one, but a growing relationship with Christ, a meaningful relationship with people, love God and love His people, doing good in the world, being a Christian example, being used by God to reach others for Him, bringing glory to Almighty God. That's what we do. That's how we're godly people in this world. And if you take the time to read the letters of the Apostle Paul, you'll find he offers some great summations. In all the letters, there's summations about holy living. You'll find in Galatians, the Philippians, Ephesians, all those letters, they have some great summations. In Colossians, Paul offers some great principles for living the godly life in Colossians chapter 3, which are very helpful for us as we seek to live a life of godliness. And I find it most helpful, and you may find it helpful as well. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have with one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of your body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is godliness. This is godliness, compassion, feeling the hurts of others, unity in Christ, disagreeing but not being disagreeable, because that will happen. We can be disagreeable, but we're going to disagree, but we can have the option of being disagreeable or not easy to get along with. Thankfulness. Have a thankful spirit. Patience as you bear with one another. And above all, don't forget to love. This is wisdom for the church from the Apostle Paul. Godliness. Godliness. And finally, Paul offers his God-inspired advice on priorities. This is the basis of all that I've said before. This is where it all comes down to, the priorities. Verse 10, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put all our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially those who believe. Hopelessness is a difficult way of life. Hopelessness is a difficult way of life. It gets tough. Decisions are not easy. There's discord, sickness, and strife. And sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, we say, God, are you sure you have this under control? Are you sure you're handling the situation right now? We find it difficult at many times in our lives. We not only feel hopeless at times, but we can feel helpless in a world that seems so very chaotic. We can be accused of ignorance. We can be accused of hiding our heads in the sand or denial or just plain old stupidity as we practice faith in that situation. Practice faith. Faith is a part of who we are. Faith is a part of our system. It's who we are. In the midst of the difficulty and strife, we choose to make God in Christ our priority, our ultimate hope. We find our hope in Him no matter what's going on in the world. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus addresses worry, a passage of scripture I read quite often because I had a tendency to worry as a child and do so today. Matthew 25 through 34. But within this passage is a wonderful verse that offers our perspective on priorities. Our perspective on priorities, the antidote for worry and how to find peace and fulfilling in life. It's found in Matthew 6:33, and you've heard it before many, many times. It's a passage of scripture that you probably memorized, maybe even put in the front of your Bible. It's great advice from Jesus Himself. For the overburdened, for the troubled, for one seeking some solid counsel for navigating daily life. It's from Jesus Himself, Matthew 6:33. I like the KJV here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's where it comes down to. That's the priority. Jesus first. Seek God's kingdom and everything above, and above everything. Living the life of Christ in the world is your priority and mine. We want to see Jesus in the world. We want to be Jesus in the world. That's what it's all about. We get quite a bit of instruction every day and advice from numerous sources. NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox News, CNN. We get the information. It comes to us every day. We're overloaded with it. It could come from a pastor. Instruction could come from a pastor. Could come from a Hollywood celebrity. They're big now. Or an influential sports figure. They seem to have all the answers. There are plenty of sources of instruction today. I'm so thankful that my ninth grade history teacher shared this valuable bit of advice with me in the class one day. She said, don't believe everything you hear or read. Don't believe everything you hear or read. But Paul offers advice to take to heart and information to believe. Paul offers us something we can believe in today. Life-changing advice. Advice on sharing valid instruction with other people. Advice on that. He tells us to use discretion and the guidance of God as we seek the truth, as we seek what's true in this world. He lets us know we will need to endure even when we don't understand. And finally, our priority is the kingdom of God. Let me encourage you to believe Jesus when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Believe him there and follow through. The question today is this: is he the Lord of your life? Is he the Lord of life? Is he first? Are you seeking him first? Is he first in your life? Is he speaking to you today? Ask him to come into your life and live, to live in your life. Do you need to do this today? Is God calling you today? Let me encourage you to respond by giving your life to God in Jesus Christ today. It's that important that we remember it's all about Jesus and his working in our life. He speaks to you today, and if he does so, please respond. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for scriptures which share so vividly our response to instruction. Help us to be open to your teaching and open to the teachings of wisdom. Help us not to take everything to heart, to use discretion in finding out what's real and what's not. But Father, help us to be willing to give instruction when called upon to do so. I pray, Father, you'll speak through us and use us in your service, that we might be the kingdom people you'd have us to be, that others will see Jesus in us. And I pray that we'll seek your kingdom first. If there's someone who's listening today who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that they'll make the decision today to follow him. Perhaps there's someone here today who is a Christian and has not putting God first in their lives. Father, maybe they need to make a decision to make him the number one priority in their lives. Father, perhaps there's someone here listening today who wants to find a place of worship, a place to belong. If this is the place, I pray that they may make that decision as well. Open hearts and minds today, Father, as we respond. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Our breath away, tragedy can leave a wake, a broken heart won't ever be the same, and pain can stop us in our tracks, losing what we can't get back, shaking the foundations of our faith. No matter what's in my way, no matter the battles I face, you're still my God. Hey, I'm on my day. On my day, I'm on my day. Oh, on my day, I'm on my day. On my day, I'm on my day. Oh, the questions keep us in the fight. The answer's never black or white. We may not know until the other side. But even in this in between, we fix our eyes on what's unseen. The shadows never overcome the light. No matter what's in my way, I know that you won't ever change, won't ever change. You are still my God, you're still my rock, my only hope, Lord. You're all I've got. In every valley or mountaintop, I'll say hallelujah, you're still my God. On my day, I'm on my day. On my day, I'm on my day. Oh, on my day, I'm on my day. On my are still my God. You're still my rock, my only hope, Lord. You're all I've got. In every valley or mountaintop, I'll say hallelujah. You're still my God. You're still my hope. You're still my peace. You're still my joy. You're all I need. You're still my strength when I am weak. You're still my God. I still believe. I'm a day. You're still my God.
Church family and all of those watching, we want to thank you for joining us this morning for worship. And we want to remind you, if you have made a decision from your home or wherever you are for Christ or a rededication, or if you're interested in being a part of our family here at Poplar Springs, we want you to reach out to us and let us know that. So we encourage you to call us, write us, email us here at the church, come by and see us, let us know of those decisions. We would love to hear about them and hold you accountable and celebrate with you. So we encourage you to do that. If you have any concerns this week, we encourage you to let us know that as well. I'm pretty sure Andrew Day is our deacon of the week this week. If you have any concerns, you can reach out to him or any of our deacons if you can't reach somebody on our staff. As we close out worship this morning, would you join me as we pray? God, how important it is to be reminded this morning of the importance of what we speak, what we say, how we interact with others and react to each other. God, as we go throughout this coming week, would you help us to be wise in the things that we say? Before we speak a word to our coworker, before we respond to something online, before we send that text, God, would you remind us that our words should be filled with gentleness and compassion, and above all else, love. God, help us to be your messengers of peace. And God, may we be your shining light through the words that we speak. God, thank you for this time we've been able to share in worship. And God, we are looking forward to the day when we soon can be back together in your house. Guide us and go with us this week. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning.